Can we turn to God's Word this morning? And to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. This particular section, which has to do with the allotment of land to the victorious Israeli armies of the days of Joshua, we have a little section having to do with Caleb. As we mentioned last week, we're taking a special message on Caleb, man of God. Joshua chapter 14, I'm reading from the New International Version, beginning in verse 6. Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me? I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought to him back a report according to my conviction. But my brothers who were not with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So that on that day Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance, and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I am just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out, just as he said." Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as an inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba, after Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites. Then the land had rest from war. Chapter 15, verse 13. In accordance with the Lord's command to him, Joshua gave to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, a portion in Judah, Kiriath Arba, that is, Hebron. Verse 14, from Hebron, Caleb drove out the three Anakites, Shishai, Himon, Talmai, descendants of Anak. From there he marched against the people living in Debir, formerly called Kiriath Sefer. Caleb said, "I will give my daughter Aksah in marriage to the man who attacks and captures Kiriath Sefer." Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's brother, took it. So Caleb gave his daughter Aksah to him in marriage. Pray. God, our Father, we'd ask you this morning that you would make this passage come alive to us. Grant that we will desire, fervently desire, to be men and women of God, those who are living for you, even in difficult days. So, Father, we ask your blessing now in our Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen. Caleb's story, Caleb's secret. That's what it's all about this morning, if you picked up an outline sheet. First of all, Caleb's story. Caleb seeking God. Caleb, if you notice, was born of a man who was a Kenizzite. Notice verse 6 of chapter 14. Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. Now, if you would go back to Genesis, in chapter 15, you would find the Kenizzites were one of those Canaanitish nations that possessed the very land that the Israelites were going into at this time. At one point in time, the Canaanites, they became attached to Judah, we do not know. But it seems at some point in time in the past, there was some of these Canaanites who desired to know the true God, Jehovah, the God of the Hebrews. And so they were proselytes to Judaism, and Judah was in that line of those who sought the Lord and became attached to him through faith. Although far off as pagan people, the very people that were under the judgment of God in Canaan, they sought the Lord even as Rahab the harlot did. And they became people of God. So that Caleb at this point of time is a true Israelite. It has not always been that way. But his forefathers and he himself We're seeking the Lord to become part of the people of God. I trust that that is our desire this morning. No matter where we come from, I trust it is our desire to be a part of the family of God, to belong to Him, that we are seekers, because Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. You can be sure that if you are seeking Him, you will be found of Him. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is seeking those who are lost. Are you desiring this morning to find Him and to know Him in a personal way? Caleb was in that boat. But after we find Caleb then as a part of the people of God, which he was not originally, as I suggested, after we find him as a part of the people of God, we next find him serving the Lord during his lifetime. First of all, he served the Lord as one of the spies that were sent out from Kadesh Barnea to examine the land into which they were going, as recorded way back in Numbers chapter 13. He was a spy chosen from the tribe of Judah. And as he went out with the other spies, they penetrated through the southern and central sections of the land of Palestine, and it seems that the extremity of their penetration was at a place called Hebron, or Hebron, as sometimes they call it over there today. And as he came to Hebron, or Hebron, it seemed to be a place that captured his attention. That's the reason was that it was at Hebron that the fathers, the patriarchs, were buried. Sarah, first of all, then Abraham, then Isaac, then Jacob, and finally the bones of Joseph were to be brought back to Hebron. As we visited Palestine on a couple of occasions, we went to that place, a sort of a holy shrine place today, not only for the Hebrew people, but also for the Arab people, because Abraham is also their forefather. And we stopped at this place where Caleb had penetrated with the spies at this point in time. Perhaps it was because of the roots of the nation that he desired someday to have for his possession Hebron, that holy city of the ancient Hebrew people. He set his heart upon it, and that was what he asked for eventually. But as he came back with the 12 spies from viewing out the land and reported to Moses, he said, the land is productive. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. But he, as all the spies said, there are many walled cities, fortified cities there, and there are great giants in the land, especially in the area of Hebron. The Anakites live there. They are men of tremendous size. 10 of the spies said, the cities are too strong, they're fortified too strongly, and the giants, the warriors, are too big. We're like grasshoppers in their sight, and we are unable to go in and possess the land. It was Joshua and Caleb, our point of interest this morning, who said, no, what you say is true. The cities are well fortified. The warriors are mighty and strong and giant men. But God is with us, and we are able to go in and take the land. Well, the report of the majority, the 10, was the report that the people responded to. And there was a near rebellion in the camp of Israel, as God, through Moses, had told them to go into the land. Two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, were urging them to do so. 10 of the spies were saying, we can't do it. And as Caleb and Joshua made a tremendous effort to give them to go with God, they were about to be stoned. People were picking up stones to kill them. And they only barely escaped with their lives, as recorded in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. So he was a faithful spy, even to the risk of his very life. Then the next period of his life, we find him sojourning. Remember, he had set his eyes upon Hebron as a place for an inheritance. But now, for the next 38 years, he was going to be wandering with an unbelieving people through the wilderness, waiting to possess the goods. So we find him sojourning in the wilderness for 38 years while that rebellious generation died. Some strange and terrible and frightening things happened during that 38 years. Remember, there was the rebellion of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram against the leadership of Moses, where God opened up the earth and swallowed them up in fire. You remember that Moses himself got angry and sinned against the Lord as he smote the rock. You remember the people complained so much that God sent fiery serpents among them. That's where they raised up that serpent of glass on the pole, if you remember. You remember there was war with the Amorites and war with the Moabites. And remember that the king of the Moabites, Balak, tried to hire Balaam to curse the people of Israel. When that was not successful, then the women seduced them, and immorality resulted, and the people fell into worshiping the idols of the Moabites. Through all of it, Caleb was faithful to the Lord. Although there was confusion, there was apostasy, there was rebellion, there was bitterness, there was complaining and criticism and all negative kind of things going on around him, this man remained faithful to the Lord through it all. Then he became a soldier. First of all, a spy in serving God, then a sojourner, and now a soldier. 7 years of soldiering as they took the land in the campaign. Remember the central campaign, splitting the country, then the southern campaign, then the northern campaign. And interestingly, as a soldier myself, I was very interested to notice that Caleb sums it all up, and he says, "The Lord has kept me alive," chapter 14, verse 10. "He has kept me alive during those 7 years of conflict." So he was a man who knew what it was to serve God as a faithful spy, as a faithful sojourner, as a faithful soldier. And now these 45 years had passed in the life of Caleb. He was successful for God, was Caleb. First of all, in viewing the land, desiring that sacred land of Hebron. He was promised that land by Moses on behalf of God. And then he requests the land. And I want you to notice that very carefully with me in chapter 14 now and in verse 12. Verse 12, chapter 14. He says, "Now give me the hill country that the Lord promised me that day." Over and over again, he reminds Joshua here that the Lord had promised him this land way back 45 years ago. So now he requests that land. And notice what kind of land it is. First of all, it is hill country in verse 12. "Give me the hill country that the Lord promised me." Now, hill country is not easy country as far as military warfare is concerned. One of the things that was conducive to our victory in the Gulf War at this time was the terrain, actually. Very suitable for rapid tank warfare as developed during that campaign. This was hill country, difficult to take. Not only was it hill country, but notice again in verse 12. "You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there." Who were the Anakites? They were these giants. These were these very men of tremendous stature that brought fear into the hearts of the Israelites so that they wouldn't go in. Here Caleb says, "I want to go to the very stronghold of the Canaanites. I want to go to this hill country where the giants are. That's the land that I want." Notice the third thing in verse 12. He says their cities were large and fortified. So it was hill country, it was giant country, it was fortified country. Caleb is asking for the most difficult possible assignment. 45 years ago, he decided he wanted that particular land where the roots of the nation were driven into the ground, so to speak, as the patriarchs were buried in that place. He requested the land, and he possesses the land in chapter 15. Look quickly with me in chapter 15 and verse 15. Chapter 15, verse 15, verse 14, excuse me, from Hebron, Caleb drove out the three Anakites, and their names are given there. So Caleb, with other men, of course, with him, leading the mop-up operation here, he goes in and drives out these very giants who had terrified the people of Israel some 45 years ago. Caleb is victorious in possessing. He was successful for God. But notice not only so do we find him possessing the land, but his daughter, notice if you will, in verse 16. Caleb says, I will give my daughter Aksah in marriage to the man who attacks and captures Kiriath Sifra, or Deber, this particular, another particular place. So he's going to give his daughter in marriage as reward to the man, the warrior who will stand out for this other particular land. And a man by the name of Othniel stands forth. Now we're not quite clear whether Othniel was Caleb's nephew or whether Othniel was Caleb's half-brother, but I can tell you he was one of the two. So Othniel is either Caleb's nephew or he's Caleb's half-brother. He stands forth and says, I will lead the expedition to take Deber. And so he does successfully, and he receives Caleb's daughter in marriage. The interesting thing is that Othniel becomes the first judge or deliverer in the book of Judges. And when you get to the book of Judges, you find different judges or deliverers. We mustn't think of them as civil judges. We think of them as saviors or deliverers whom God raised up. So in the book of Judges, the very first deliverer is Othniel, the son-in-law of Caleb. And he keeps the peace for Israel for 40 years, as recorded in Judges chapter 3. That's a pretty good person. So here's the man who goes in and possesses the toughest assignment in the land, and his daughter and son-in-law come along and take another fortress, and he becomes the first deliverer of the people of Israel during their most troublous period, the period of the book of Judges. What in the world is the secret of Caleb? How could he do this? How could he be such a man of God in a difficult time? That's what we want to think about this morning in our closing minutes. First of all, Caleb, in secret, first of all, he was a man of unswerving faith. You got it? Caleb was a man of unswerving faith. He was a man of unswerving faith when there were great problems for Israel. He was a man of unswerving faith when there were great problems for Israel. Giants in the land, fortified cities. Not easy going. Tough going. A man of faith in tough times. What are the problems in your life? Perhaps they are personal problems that you're dealing with. Perhaps they are marital or family problems that you're dealing with. Whatever the problems are, God is greater than your problem. And Caleb was a great man for God with unswerving faith at a time of great problems. But not only a time of great problems, but a time of great opposition. Remember, as I have said, the 10 unfaithful spies whipped up the whole people so they were about to kill the two faithful spies, Caleb and Joshua. He was, with Joshua, a minority, that's for sure. And in the face of great opposition, he was a man of unswerving faith. It's easy when things are going well and there are no problems. It's easy when it is popular to move in this direction or that direction. But Caleb was a man of faith when there were great problems and great opposition. And there may be great opposition that you face at the place where you work, to living a Christian life in the workplace. There may be great problems with the family structure in which you find yourself, to living for God in that difficult situation. You may be a minority of one or just two in the situation that you're involved in, as Caleb was. But you need to be a man or a woman of great and unswerving faith, no matter the problems be great and the opposition be great. How is it then that he was a man of unswerving faith, with great problems and great opposition? The answer is found in Deuteronomy chapter 1, if you want to flip over to Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 21. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 21. See, the Lord your God has given you the land. Go up and take possession of it, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, told you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go up and take possession of it, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, told you. He was a man of unswerving faith because he believed the word of God. God had told them that he would give them the land of Palestine. This was not some whim that Moses had dreamed up. This was not some wish list that the children of Israel had compiled. This was the word of God and God's plan for that people at that time. And Caleb, in spite of the problems, in spite of the opposition, he rested in the word of God. If we're going to be men and women of unswerving faith, it must be because we are laying hold of what God says, no matter what the problems are, and no matter what the opposition is. My friend, I can guarantee to you that as you lay hold of God's word and believe him in the most difficult times, you will be a man or woman of God. But not only did he believe the word of God in these difficult times, but he also knew the presence of God in those difficult times. Turn back to Numbers chapter 14. So these are the two keys to the secret here, Numbers chapter 14. And you'll notice in verse 9, as they are pleading with the people not to rebel and apostatize, he says, only do not rebel against the Lord. Numbers 14, verse 9. Do not rebel against the Lord. Do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. So two things made him a man of unswerving faith. Number one, the word of God. Number two, the realized presence of God in his life. He says, God is with us. And as you live your daily life and maintain personal daily fellowship with the Lord and look upon his word, you will be able to be a man or a woman of unswerving faith, even though the problems be great and the opposition be overwhelming. But he was not only a man of unswerving faith, secondly, he was a man of total commitment. A man of total commitment. You picked up, I'm sure, the key phrase in describing Caleb in the Bible. Let's turn back to Numbers chapter 14. There are five times that this phrase occurs, and I want you to read them with me in your Bible. Numbers chapter 14, and reading in verse 24. He says, but because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to. So God says that Caleb was a man who followed him wholeheartedly. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1 again. Deuteronomy chapter 1. This time let's go over to verse 36. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 36. Caleb, son of Jephunneh, he will see it, the land, and I will give him and his descendants the land he set his feet on, because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. In our present passage, Joshua chapter 14, in our reading this morning, verse 8, my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Verse 9, Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Verse 14, Hebron has belonged to Caleb and so on, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. The message, the emphasis is clear. Joshua, Caleb, is a man of God, because he not only has unswerving faith, resting in the word of God, knowing the presence of God, but he's a man who has made a total commitment to the Lord. Sometimes we say so-and-so is into weightlifting, or so-and-so is into health food, or so-and-so is into sport, or so-and-so is into the stock market. We need to be wholly into the Lord. What are you into? This is what Caleb was, a man who was into God. He was into the Lord. This was his life. As Paul said later on, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain, and so on. A person of total commitment. A number of years ago, there was a chicken and a pig, so the story goes, and they were walking along and saw this sign out in front of a church, and it said, church supper, ham and eggs. And so the chicken said to the pig, he says, I think we ought to contribute to that supper. The pig says, hey, wait a minute. He says, for you, it's only a contribution, but for me, it's total commitment. Ham and egg. Well, God is looking for total commitment. Caleb was a man who wasn't playing games. He wasn't half here and half there, one foot in, one foot out, on the fence, off one foot, onto the other foot. He was a man who was totally committed to God. And if you want to be a man or a woman for God, you must face that issue head on. And you must unreservedly commit yourself totally to the Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? All. Your heart, your soul, your mind, with all your energy, with all your emotions, with all your intellect. Total commitment. That's the secret of Caleb. Man of unswerving faith. Man of total commitment. Thirdly, a man of quiet patience. A man of quiet patience. Hey, just a moment now. When he was 40 years old, he saw this land, this place, Hebron, the place of the roots of the nation. And he said, I would like to possess that someday for God. And he came back and stood for God as a faithful spy. And God said to him, your desire will come true. You will have that land. And so now he wanders with an unbelieving generation for 38 years because of other messed up people. He doesn't yet get his possession. One of the most difficult things in life is to be a person of vision, a person of drive, a person of goal, a person who seeks to achieve for God, and yet because of unbelieving constituents, not be able to enter into the possession of that land. And it tests the patience of a person. And here he is for 38 years while the carnage of unbelief drops around him, just like in Kuwait today. The carnage of warfare has to be cleaned up before the land can be repossessed by the Kuwaiti people. And the carnage of unbelief, 38 years of it, had to be swept away before this man could enter into his possession. 7 years of warfare followed. And now he's 85 years of age. During all that time, I don't find any words in the Bible about him complaining, although he had plenty to complain about. I don't find him upset and frustrated. I find him quietly, patiently, waiting for the day when God would give him his possession. That's a mark of a great man or a great woman. To be able to quietly wait for God. Because you know what? The alternative is not to quietly wait for God and to go in and bang some heads and make it happen. Make a bunch of disasters too. The secret of Caleb's success was he a man of unswerving faith, of total commitment, and of quiet patience. And finally, he was a man of great energy. I love this guy. 85 years of age. He says, I'm still strong today as the day Moses set me out. He says, I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. He says, my powers for God are not diminished. It's great to grow old and still be fruitful for God. You read the Old Testament and it shocks me and it brings me up short the time span that I am in my life. So many men and women started out well and ended up in eclipse and disaster. But here's a man who's going on, going on, right to the very end. Says, give me the tough land, I'm ready for it now. Give me the tough challenge, I'm ready for it now. Give me that land that God promised to me, I'm ready for it now. He's a man of great energy. He knows that it takes not only desire and determination, but discipline of life to possess your possessions. Desire, determination, discipline. Suppose, for example, some of you men decided that you wanted to go to the men's prayer meeting, which meets once a month, the last first Saturday in the month. I happened to be there with some men yesterday morning. Good time of prayer. Now, that's a great desire to have. I'd like to go to that prayer service. For some of you ladies, some other activity. I'd like to be involved in that spiritual activity. It's great to have spiritual desires. spiritual desires have to be worked out in determination. So I not only want to be at that men's prayer meeting for Saturday each month, I'm determined to make it happen. So I put it on my schedule. Right? I don't know what you keep your schedule in, but I got two books I live by. I got them both up here. This is one, or I should say this is one, and this is the other one right here. Tells me what I got to do, all right? What I got to do. So I put it on the schedule. That's part of determination. And I tell my wife, that's very important. So she's not expecting Saturday morning on this Saturday we're going to go off and do this real quick. And I tell my kids, yeah, we're going to get to that game, or we're going to get to that activity. Yeah, but I'll be back by 9 o'clock. I'll be back at 8 o'clock. I'll be back at 8 o'clock if you want me to. Determination. Set the alarm clock. 6:30. Determination. Not only desire and determination, but discipline. When that alarm goes off, get up out of bed even though it's Saturday morning. When that alarm goes off, get up and get dressed, because if I don't get dressed, I might get back into bed again. Not only when that alarm gets off, get up and get dressed, but get going. Get out of the house. Get on the way. That is great energy. Desire, determination, discipline makes it happen. Now, Caleb was a great man of God. Man of unswerving faith. Tremendous obstacle. You got problems, he had problems. You got opposition, he had opposition. A man of total commitment. A man of quiet patience. A man of great energy. And you and I be such men and women today for God's glory. I challenge you this morning, men and women too, to be men and women of God. If you're going to be men and women of God, there are choices that have to be made. Believing God or responding to the world system around you, the unbelief, the secular system, the lies of Satan. Total commitment, not partial commitment, not playing games. Great energy and persistence for the Lord. Patience, quietly waiting for Him to work. Are you ready for that commitment this morning? Right now, will you start a new phase of your life? Become a Caleb. You respond to the Lord about that. Right now, your own heart. Blessed God, grant each and every one of us to follow through on those commitments that we've made this morning, that we might in a new way become men and women for God. This world needs us. We're your plan to bring blessing to our generation. Lord, help us not to fail. We pray in Jesus' name.